This is Chapel for Wednesday, October 15th, Clinical Pastoral Education Day. Speakers William Russell, Chaplain, Richmond, Virginia, Memorial Hospital.
With the psalmist, let us lift our eyes to you who are enthroned in the heavens. Let us gather in the awareness that we are called to be the people of God. We welcome the powerful calm of your loving presence in this place, O God. May the Spirit that you have poured out upon us cleanse our hearts, clear our vision, unclutter our hearts, our lives, and teach us to hear the music of your grace. Behold now, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, we stand at midweek, mid-semester, midstream in the projects, struggles, and challenges which are a part of living. Give us a sense of your presence as we gather together this morning. Lord God, may our prayers be an expression of hope. May we expect the coming of something new. We have hope because we believe that you give us only what is good, and our hearts are filled with many concrete and tangible desires and expectations. Hear now these thoughts. Lord, we also have hope because of your faithfulness to us in the past. You are completely trustworthy. There is no shadow of turning in you. We are grateful that your love for us does not depend on our love for you. You keep on loving unconditionally. Still, we are in need of reconciliation. Hear now our confessions. Teach us, O God, to love you, to love our brothers and sisters, and to love ourselves. Bind us together in hope as we worship and as we depart. Bind us together like the strands of a strong rope. 100 little strands of hope that we twist together to make a cable strong enough to pull ourselves along. May we stay open to whatever today will offer us, or tomorrow, 2 months from now, or a year from now. This is hope. To go fearlessly into things without knowing how they'll turn out. To keep on going even when something doesn't work out the first time. To trust in your faithfulness when nothing else makes sense. Eternal God, give us hope. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Each year at about this time of the year, it is our pleasure to welcome to the campus a number of representatives from clinical pastoral education programs in our vicinity. And this year, we are fortunate to have a number of those programs represented again. I'd like to identify and recognize our guests today who are here and who are available and interested in talking with students who want to know more about clinical pastoral education. We're delighted to have from the Duke University Medical Center, Patrick Prasad. I noticed he's just coming in. And with him, residents. Some of you will know Denise Honeycutt, who returns after having only graduated in May. Denise, glad to have you. And Brian Miller, is Brian here? Yes, okay. Thank you, Brian. Brian is a current student in the Duke program. We have from the John Umstead Hospital in Butner, Frank Askins. Would you stand, Frank, if you're here? He may not have gotten over, he probably got tied up in conversation. Frank has the unique distinction, and I use that word advisedly, of being the first graduate of this institution, literally. First class, first name on the list. From the North Carolina Memorial Hospital, we have Wayne Robinson, Charla Littell, one of our recent graduates, and Gloria Fish, supervisor there, and we welcome them. From the North Carolina Baptist Hospital, we have L.L. McGee. L.L., would you stand? Director of CPE, Maurice Briggs, who is chairperson of the admissions committee. Maurice is in the back. And Kathy Hasty, supervisor in training. Delighted to have them with us. From the South Carolina Baptist Medical Center, Olin Grubbs, who is director for CPE. Glad to have you with us, Olin. We are expecting a representative from Wesley Long Hospital, Janice Wakefield. Is Janice come in? Don't see her. She is Assistant Director for Patient Services, Wesley Long Hospital in Greensboro. From the Pitt County Memorial Hospital, Jerry Angevine. Is Jerry in the congregation? This is a new, relatively new program at the hospital, which is affiliated with East Carolina University. Let me see. We were looking for someone from the South Carolina Correctional Center in Columbia. Is anyone representing that center? Don't see them yet. We do have representatives from Charlotte Memorial Hospital. Lionel Gilmer, the Director of Pastoral Care, and Don Ledbetter are here. If they are present, we'd like for them to stand. Yes, glad to have them with us. Charlotte Memorial is relatively new center, doing an excellent job in that part of the state. And let me see. Is Henry Flowers here yet from University Hospital, Augusta, Georgia? I have not spotted him yet, but we're looking for him. So if you would like to gain more information about clinical pastoral education, we invite you to come over to the Ledford Center, where these supervisors will be available between the end of chapel and lunchtime at 12. And gather information, talk with them, explore your common interests. I have not introduced one guest, which I've saved to last, who is leading our worship today, Dr. William D. Russell, who is chaplain of the Richmond Memorial Hospital in Richmond, Virginia. Some of us have an emotional tie to that hospital, even though we haven't seen it, because we know of the influence that Dr. Theodore F. Adams had in the inception of that hospital. I heard Dr. Adams say to me in a conversation that he was on a committee after World War II to consider an appropriate monument to the veterans of World War II from Richmond. And he said as he looked up and down the streets of Monument, up and down the sides of Monument Avenue, he came to the conclusion that what Richmond did not need was another monument. But it did need an adequate memorial. And at that time, there was a shortage of hospital beds. And he pushed his influence behind the creation of this hospital and served on its board, I think, virtually until his death. So the emergency room, if you ever have to go there, which I hope you won't, but if you do, you'll notice that his name is on the entrance pavilion for the emergency service. Theodore F. Adams, who served here as a professor of preaching after he retired from his pastorate in Richmond for something like 11 or 12 years, and we still miss him. Bill is a native of Georgia. He's a nephew, if I'm not mistaken, of Richard Russell, who served as congressman or senator? Senator, I beg your pardon, Mr. Russell, from Georgia in an earlier day. He holds a D.M.D. degree from Union Seminary in Richmond. where he serves as a visiting professor of pastoral care, Bill has had a very significant influence on the life of the Mid-Atlantic region, that's Virginia, North and South Carolina, in the development and growth of clinical pastoral education. He currently serves as chair of the National Commission on Certification of Supervisors, so he's in a very active and busy phase as his institution, the hospital, is related very closely to the Union Theological Seminary and to the Presbyterian School of Christian Education. We're delighted to welcome him to lead our worship, and he will lead us in meditation after the anthem.
When I first arrived this morning, I was lost, which will not come as a surprise to many of you since I'm a Presbyterian and have yet to be found. And as I tried to find my way around this campus, I saw a sign that said faculty parking only. And there, to my amazement, was a Studebaker. And I thought, this campus can't be all bad. And I wonder just which discipline and faculty member owns that car. If it were at Union Seminary, it would probably be the professor of ethics, who has never told anyone what he believes yet. If it were at Columbia Seminary, where I did my BD and THM, it would have been the professor of English Bible, who would still think Studebakers were still being produced. But I'm glad to be here. I need to tell you that I preach every Sunday, and the sanctuary in which I preach extends from about the pulpit to the piano. Or, as Roy Woodruff once told me, that's a harpsichord. I think that's a piano. So I am somewhat intimidated, and I hope you hear me. Listen to the Word of God for you and for me from the 18th chapter of Luke. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded men. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Vindicate me against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Praise be to God, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture this morning is the scripture for those of us who follow the lectionary for this coming Sunday, which is still a part of Pentecost, where we ask the question, what is the church? What about the body of Christ, and what is that body to be doing in this day and time and hour? The first 20 Sundays of Pentecost had to do with that familiar passage from the 5th chapter of Romans, where Paul talks about our justification through the faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Now, I always have to remind myself, as Frederick Borsch reminds us, that the faith by which people are justified is not their own, but the faith and faithfulness, the life-giving obedience of Jesus Christ, We are saved by the faith and faithfulness of Jesus. And yet, as we see in today's scripture, we are also people who are commanded to respond in faith. Like a widow who wears out an unrighteous judge, we are to be people who are persistent in our faith. Persistent about the things of God. I guess in some ways it reminds me of my pilgrimage with prayer. Anyone who is born in Southeast Georgia is really a Baptist, even though they may go to the Presbyterian Church. And I used to pray, and I especially prayed before exams in high school, since I had not done anything until the night before, that God would vindicate me and I would pass. Obviously, those people who taught me were not Christians because I flunked. I saw prayer as kind of a way to manipulate God, or perhaps myself. And I can remember in CPE, there were times when I found it difficult to pray because out of my culture, at times it felt as if I were going to paste God on at the end. I think I really began to learn how to pray when I began to understand how the people of the Old Testament were able to talk to God in an open, in an honest manner where they could talk to God about what hurt them, what pained them, what aggravated them. They could lament. And I guess in some ways I had to be freed from those restraints which I saw as constituting what prayer really was before I found out what prayer really is. And yet, when we talk about the persistence of faith, we're not talking just about prayer. This story out of Luke is not an allegory. You cannot say that the woman is the Christian and the judge is God. To do that creates a lot of problems. One is that the judge is unrighteous, but it's a parable. It is a story laid down beside to help us understand about our need to be persistent. We need to be people who want something badly enough, even when it looks like the world has gone crazy, whether it is our inner world or the world of the community of faith or the world of God that includes all nations and peoples. We need to be people who persistently believe that God finally speaks the last word. None of us escapes without hours of darkness. No woman or man ever pastors without being in despair and depression and anxiety and uncertainty, all things which I believe are components of faith. But there's also that part of us that needs to be believing, hoping, committed, and even deciding to be people who are persistent and tenacious and will not let anything turn us away from being the people of God in this day, in this time, in this place. So Jesus is saying to us, keep on keeping on. Because he demands of us that in this time and even in the time to come, we are to continue to be people who struggle, even if it has to be, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us rise for the benediction. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, preserve, bless, and keep us and those we love this day and forevermore. Amen.